so many things to talk about. And, of course, we do now have the first announcement on gross domestic product in the fourth quarter of calendar year 2016. We expected to see a cooling off of GDP growth in the fourth quarter. That's what we see because the announcement so far, subject to revision, shows 1.9% annualized growth in the fourth quarter. And I'm going to talk about the huge impact that the export account had on that figure. It was a very dramatic impact, and I want to talk about that in a moment. But overall, the number came in at a 1.9 annual rate, which is the same number that has come in so far on calendar year 2016. And many of you know that my projection for 2016 was real GDP growth in a range of 1.8 to 2.2%. With a midpoint of 2.0. Well, the number so far stands at 1.9, which is very, very close. Now, there was an enormous drag on growth in the fourth quarter, and really gigantic when you look at the numbers we're talking about here, because the drag in the fourth quarter from net exports subtracted 1.7%. from the fourth quarter figure. Now, that's the most since the second quarter of 2010. And the reason is because real exports declined at a 4.3% annual rate in the fourth quarter. And that included food exports as well. So this was dramatic, given the fact that the other figures were all in positive territory, and the fourth quarter could have shown a really nice number in terms of annualized growth in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't going to happen that way with the very strong negative impact of our export account on those figures. So those figures are subject to revision, but as a general rule, the revisions are relatively modest. We'll see how they play out this time, but without any question, the strong dollar is affecting our export account. It is holding down our exports, and of course, that also is a restraint on new jobs. And in addition to that, the rest of the GDP figures came in quite well indeed. So we'll see how that plays out going forward. But fourth quarter in the books, 2016 in the books, there could be some revision. Would not expect dramatic revision in the figures. But it looks like the operative figure right now is just a shade below the 2% figure for the fourth quarter and for the calendar year 2016. Now, we don't know what is going to happen in terms of U.S. trade policy going forward. There are those out there that are concerned about future trade policy in terms of the potential for border taxes or border tariffs, whichever you prefer. We don't know where that'll go yet because for major policy on trade, you have to look to Congress. Yes, the president has the right to put in a 15% tariff up to 5 months. Beyond that, the powers go to the Congress. So we'll be looking to Congress for whether or not we're going to have protectionist trade policies. But regardless of whether or not that happens, we're going to have a strong U.S. dollar, especially in an environment where the Federal Reserve has already embarked on a policy of tightening monetary policy. And they tighten monetary policy through a variety of actions, not the least of which is increasing short-term interest rates. Now, the Federal Reserve has total control over short-term interest rates because they are the arbiter of the federal funds rate. They decide what the federal funds rate will be And when they increase the federal funds rate, that has the effect of restraining economic growth. Right now, the federal funds rate is between 0.5% and 0.75%. However, the Fed chair has indicated that we will see increases in the federal funds rate, not only in 2017, but possibly 2018 and 2019, if the economy, the level of growth in the economy supports increases in rates. That is all what is referred to as the normalization of interest rates. And the normalization of interest rates is a really big deal when you're talking about coming from a rate of close to 0%. And even today, we're talking about a typical, well, the midpoint of the current federal funds range is 0.625% on historical information. That is a very, very low rate. So we'll see how that plays out. But for the time being, rates remain very, very low. Another announcement this week had to do with home values, and house prices have continued to gradually increase. Over the last year, they rose 6.1%, according to the FHFA, 6.1% year over year. The good part of that is that it helps people who are underwater with their mortgages get out from being underwater as the value of the property increases. And at the same time, remember, house prices took a shellacking in the 2008-09 period, and so this continues to represent recovery from that very, very difficult period for the housing market. Pat is on the line in San Rafael, California. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Bob. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I have a question. I was watching a Vanguard webcast, and CEO Bill McNabb spoke about bond funds, and he said he wants interest rates going up for bond funds and said that as long as your time horizon is longer than the duration of the fund, you'll make money off rising rates. Can you comment? Can you clarify that for me? Because I thought the net asset value went down when in rising interest rates.
I would expect to see the net asset value of the typical bond fund depreciate when rates increase. In fact, that's what I observe in looking at bond funds. Have you seen different?
No, I agree with you, but I was just curious as to what you might be talking about, thinking that you get a higher interest rate. So the only way a net asset value will come back if it goes down is if interest rates go back down then. Is that correct?
I would say that would be the best way to see a recovery in net asset value would be to see interest rates go back down. I mean, if you were caught in a situation where rates were going up, look at it this way. We just had a period, an extraordinary period of 34 years of declining interest rates. Starting back in 1982, when rates were at or near historic highs, and then we went on a period of over three decades where rates were declining until they bottomed out in 2016, and then they started to turn around and go back up. So 34 years, you would have had to wait 34 years if, let's say, you were short bonds. If you were short bonds during that period that they rallied for 34 years, you would have had to wait 34 years before things turned around, right?
Wow.
So it depends how long the trend. If it's a very long trend, such as that was, where rates went from double digits, we had 15% treasuries. We had 12% treasury bills back in the early 1980s, and they came all the way down to, we saw the 30-year in the twos, and we saw treasury bills at zero. We had a 34-year run of lower rates. So my question would be, what happens if you have a 10 or 20 or 30-year run of rising rates? What happens then? And the only thing I could see would be that, yes, you will collect your interest. If we're talking quality bonds, yes, you will collect your interest, and that will be money in your pocket. But when we refer to bond funds and duration, we're talking about the net asset value of the fund.
Right.
So somebody would have to explain to me how I would expect to see a rising net asset value over a period of many, many years of rising rates. I doubt that would happen. Yes, I would collect my interest. And yes, I would get a little more interest each year as rates went up. But I don't see how that could play out positively on my net asset value.
Okay, great. The reason for my call, the reason I asked you is because I'm transitioning into portfolio number three. I recently retired. Oh, and by the way, I used your February call to get into the stock side, which is great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we got in on the low to mid-1800s on that one, and we caught the low for the year on that one. So everything worked out beautifully.
Yeah, great. So can I just buy the bond side now? I was waiting for interest rates to...
Well, we have a short duration. I wouldn't tell you to buy long bonds, but we have a short duration of 1.3, and I am comfortable with investing in the fixed income side of Model 3, although I prefer a dollar cost average approach on the equity market at this juncture. I do appreciate the call, Pat. Thank you for checking in.